Around this house, media around this town. Victory on the battleground, we claim it now. Media, media.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I am your host, Diane Canada, and so glad you're here today. We have got a special guest on the show. We are going to be welcoming in Senator Marsha Blackburn. Now, she has been serving the state of Tennessee in public service since the mid-90s. She started out as a representative here at the state level. Then she was sworn into the Tennessee State Senate in 1998. Then she went on to service in Congress. She represented the 7th Congressional District here for Tennessee. And as of 2018, winning that election, she was sworn into the U.S. Senate in 2019. Prior to serving us publicly like she has so exemplary, she was actually a businesswoman. And she grew up in Laurel, Mississippi. She graduated from Mississippi State University, and she went on to have a very successful career in the retail world. And she started her own business, a marketing strategy firm. And so she's done a lot prior to coming into public service. I think it's so great that she was an entrepreneur first. So she really understands. She really understands us from so many angles. Many of you know that entrepreneurship is a big part of my heart. So I love that she had that experience prior to going into Congress and into the Senate. She's not a lifelong politician. She's also been married to Charles, a very sweet man who I've had the privilege of meeting. She has been married to Charles almost 50 years now. They've got 2 children, a son and a daughter, and they've got 2 grandsons, and they've got a granddaughter. So family is a very, very big part of her life. One of the things I love about Marsha is that she makes it a point, a priority in her life to fly home on weekends so that they can have family dinners as often as possible. So she's really got her priorities straight, and she's just got so much fruit in her life to show for it. God says you will know them by their fruit. And I'd say she's a walking example of that sentiment. So without further ado, I would love to welcome into the show, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Thank you for carving out some time for our Lady Up America community. I appreciate it very much. Sure. Yeah. Sure. We're going to dive right in because I know your time is limited. So I recently finished your book, The Mind of a Conservative Woman. Great book. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And although you've been serving in Tennessee for quite a while as our representative and then our senator, and now in Washington, something I didn't know about you before reading the book was that you were from Laurel, Mississippi. And with the with the hometown show so popular right now, I just wonder if you're able to visit at all and see the transformations that Ben and Erin Napier are making.
Oh, of course, of course. And we love getting back to Laurel and visiting with family that is there. And I love watching the show.
Yeah.
And Erin's parents were in school with my siblings and I, and Erin's mom and my sister were cheerleaders.
Oh, wow.
Our high school together. And my mother was Erin's 4-H club leader.
Really?
So, and many of these houses that they're redoing, they're people that we have known. Wow. And it's fun to think what the house was when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and then to see what they do with it. And Laurel is a wonderful community.
Wow, that is so neat.
It's fun. Watch it and to see the transformations and how fun it is that now it's become a home decor and art hotspot. And when you visit, there are designers from all over that are in Laurel shopping.
Wow. I love that. That kind of brings me to my first question. You know, you grew up in this charming town and with great parents. I loved reading your story of your origin and the love and the conservative values that were passed down to you. You know, what a lot of people don't enjoy an upbringing like that. They have to learn later in life the benefits of conservative values, usually after a lot of maybe pain or mistakes or hard-won lessons. That was certainly my story. My first question for you is, how can we maybe shorten that learning curve? Is there something we can do to influence people to help them see those benefits rather than having to learn the hard way?
One of the things that is so important is to make certain that you're always mentoring people and that you're reaching out. Of course, our family had a couple of maxims, if you will. One was to leave things in better shape than you found them, and to secondly, give back more than you take. Mm-hmm. And that was important. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about participating in a community, working with your community to build a better quality of life for everybody, mm-hmm. to open up doors of opportunity for everybody, those are really important. And that's something my parents did. And it's something I've tried to do as I have mentored women who were coming along. And maybe it was mentoring them in their business, or people that we met at church that would just say, hey, you know, how do you do this? Or how do you do that? Mm-hmm. Those are important conversations to have. Mm-hmm. And many times how you choose to live your life is the best way to pass along those lessons and to show how to appreciate those opportunities and those open doors.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you brought up in your book, just to kind of, piggyback on that a little bit, is, you know, I think when you mentioned living by example and demonstrating the love, you know, I loved how I think it was your mom who would never return a casserole dish unless it was filled with something that she had baked or cooked. And I just think that was an excellent example.
Well, and that is something that she would regularly do. If someone dropped off something, she would then, as she returned it, of course, it was always sparkling clean, but she many times would fill it with flowers from her garden, especially camellias. She grew beautiful camellias. And so she would take someone a bouquet of camellias. And how fabulous is that, to have someone walk to your door and hear these beautiful flowers?
Yeah, great conversation starters too, I'm sure. So my next question I wanted to dive into is, we have so many women right now that are struggling with fear for the safety and well-being of their children, anger over, you know, the trajectory of our country. That mama bear instinct is really kicking in a lot of women, and it's bringing out a lot of aggression. And something that you talked about so eloquently in your book too, is that we've got to be really mindful of not always being at war with everyone. I know this is, so many things in our society right now are provoking that mama bear instinct and that aggression to want to protect our children. I know you mentioned in your book that Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher was one of your greatest inspirations. And, you know, she had a quote that said, it was something like, if power is like a lady, if you have to say it, then you don't have it. Something along those lines. You always talk about being a happy warrior, and you encourage people. Every time I've seen you in group settings, we've had chances to talk briefly, but I've asked you recently, you know, how are you holding up in Washington? And you just have a joy. You're like, I'm good. I'm good. So can you maybe share with women, you know, what's your secret sauce in being a happy warrior in a culture right now that's provoking so much of this fear and anger?
Yes, there is so much fear that is being stirred up by the left. Mm-hmm. And they do this because they use disinformation and misinformation to stir that fear in people, because fearful people are easier to control. Mm-hmm. And when you create a situation and make people fearful over a situation, then you say, here's a solution, see, you have really stirred this up for your political benefit. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. That is wrong. People need to have facts. And one of the things I found to be very helpful is to listen and to see what language people are using. And one of the things I've learned is that many of the groups on the left, they work by talking points. Mm-hmm. And when you begin to hear someone use a given set of talking points, you know who they've been listening to. Mm-hmm. So I really try to listen to people. I try to meet them where they are, hear them out, mm-hmm. and then understand where they are on that issue, and then begin to build support for what would be a long-term solution to whatever the issue is. And I've done that really, we've seen some great results by working, listening to people, working with parents, and addressing the issues on social media. Mm-hmm. And our Kids Online Safety Act that we now have 33 bipartisan co-sponsors on. Senator Blumenthal and I have worked for years on this legislation, but it came about because of listening to parents and saying, here's a problem. We've defined the problem. We've talked to parents that have lost their children to suicide, mm-hmm. to depression, to eating disorders, cyberbullying, things of that nature. Indeed, there are so many studies that are coming out now that are showing the impact of children and social media, the impact on children with social media and how this affected them during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And I know you're a believer. I love how you are always quoting scriptures. And I know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I'm sure that that plays a key role in helping all of us to stay, you know, measured in our responses. One last question for you. So I want to thank you just being a Tennessean. Thank you for standing up for my values in Washington. You've been an exemplary representative there for us, for Tennessee. I'm sure that trying to win over, you were just talking about bipartisan buy-in, you know, and I'm sure that's no easy feat in Washington. So is there a tactic that you, like maybe your best tactic, because we're trying to teach women how to win people out at the practical level, win them to conservative values in everyday conversations. So maybe your best tactic on how to win people to your point of view.
You had mentioned my book, and I do actually put some examples mm-hmm. in there in the book. You do have to listen to people. And then I use questions a lot to ask them mm-hmm. questions. And that's how you get past talking points. Yeah. And then, of course, data is always helpful. Mm-hmm. If you can show someone the data, the mm-hmm. research that either proves or disproves a point, that is something that is always going to be very helpful. Mm-hmm.
So you don't feel like it's a lost cause. You don't feel you have hope for America.
Oh, still. Of course I do.
I loved.
Of course I do. I think that we are the greatest country on the face of the earth. And my husband always says, when we talk about the grandkids, he wants them to learn 50 states, not 50 made up pronouns. He wants them to learn civics and how a bill becomes a law. He wants them to know who our founders are and why we should appreciate what they did in founding this country. He wants them to know what is the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Gettysburg Address, mm-hmm. and appreciate those as great works. Yeah. And he wants them to know, and I do too, that this is the greatest country on the face of the earth that believes in the individual to dream big dreams and make them come true.
I couldn't think of a better way to end our segment on that note. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Media around this time. Media around this time. Victory on the battleground. Reclaiming now. Lady up, lady.
lady up.